because what you got is.
Lenny wakes up on a Saturday when he wasn't planning on doing much, to the sound of muffled cursing coming from across the room.
What are you doing?
Claude looks over his shoulder at Danny.
Packing, he says, so I can come back to bed before I have to be at the rink. Do you know where my other pajama pants are, the blue ones?
In the dryer, I think. I did laundry yesterday.
Claude leaves the room and comes back a little later, with the entire laundry basket full of clothes that he proceeds to put away. The pajama pants go in his bag, and the rest of it gets folded away into drawers or hung up in the closet.
Claude puts a few more things in his bag and zips his suit into his hanging bag. He looks around for a minute, then leaves his things there and gets back into bed with Danny. Then he kisses him for a minute, before the whole morning catches up with him and he pulls back to blanket Claude.
You were packing.
Yes, Claude says slowly.
You have enough stuff here to pack. And you put away the laundry.
You would have just left it in the dryer until you needed something.
It's not an entirely unfair assertion. Then he blinks at Claude again. He's supposed to be better about talking about this, and even though he hasn't thought about it before this, it makes sense to ask,
do you want to move in?
Now it's Claude's turn to blink at him.
Do you want me to move in?
Then he stops to think before he answers. He's supposed to be putting effort into this relationship now, not just letting them drift along.
Yes, he says. I like having you here. You mostly live here anyway.
Claude kisses him long and slow.
Yes, he says. I want to move in.
After a moment, he adds,
you should probably make sure it's okay with Cameron.
The boys loved it when you lived here before, Danny says. I'm sure it will be fine.
He was 9, Claude says, but he's smiling as he does.
He doesn't mind that you mostly live here already, Danny says. I'll talk to him.
Here he goes, closer to Claude.
How much time do you have? Can we stop talking about my kid now?
Claude laughs and grabs Danny's ass.
We have some time.
Claude leaves mid-morning to get to the rink on time. Danny walks downstairs with him and spends a couple of minutes kissing him goodbye at the door, and then goes back upstairs to take a shower and put on real clothes. There's a note from Cameron that he went out with some friends, so Danny doesn't see him until he comes home, just about the time Danny's thinking about doing something for dinner.
What do you think? He asks Cameron. Cook or not?
Cook, Cameron says. He's the one who sorts through what's in the fridge and decides what they're going to make.
Danny lets him be in charge and cuts things up and stirs as directed. He waits until they're sitting down at the table to eat and bring up Claude.
Would it be okay if Claude moved in with us again?
Cameron seems wholly unconcerned as he takes a bite of his broccoli.
Doesn't he already live here?
Mostly, Danny admits. But if he lived here officially.
Yes, sure, Cameron says. I like having him around.
He's going to be staying in my room, Danny says. Not that he wants to talk to his son about his sex life, or that they haven't kissed in front of him before, but Cameron should know exactly what he's agreeing to.
Yeah, Dad, Cameron says. I know he's your partner or whatever.
It would have been hard for Cameron to miss that Danny and Claude are something, but it's the first time anyone's referred to them that way. It makes it sound more serious than boyfriend.
Okay, Danny says, after too long a moment. Thank you.
Danny texts Claude after dinner, telling him to call when he's free, and settles down to finish a hockey game to watch. He worked on his homework earlier, leaving him with a Saturday night with nothing to do until his boyfriend calls. With that thought in mind,
He also pours himself a glass of wine. If he's going to embody the cliché, he might as well go all out. He's on his second glass of wine when Claude calls, sounding bright and happy and a little tipsy himself. "I talked to Cameron," Danny says, after he tells Claude all he's doing is watching a game while waiting for his call, and Claude laughs at him. "He's okay with you moving in."
"Good,"
Claude says,
"since you already asked me to."
"Good," Danny says, "since you already mostly live here." He twists the stem of his wine glass in his fingers. "What are you going to tell people about your living arrangements?"
"Oh,"
Claude says,
"is that why you've been drinking?"
"No," Danny says with a laugh, "but we should talk about it."
"I'll tell people who already know about us that I'm moving in with my boyfriend."
Danny smiles. He likes hearing that descriptor from Claude. "What about the people who don't know?"
"I don't know,"
Claude says with a sigh.
"Do you mean what am I going to tell the Courier Post about where I live?"
"Yes," Danny says. He puts down his wine glass and turns off the TV. "We should talk about that." Claude hums for a second, then asks,
"Are we always going to have serious conversations over the phone when I'm on the road?"
Then he winces. "We've had a lot of them when we're together."
"Okay,"
Claude says.
"Are we going to have this one when I'm on the road, or when I'm back home?"
"It can wait," then he says. "They do have to talk about it, but they don't have to talk about it right now."
"I want to be able to see you,"
Claude says,
"and touch you, and kiss you."
"Okay," then he says.
"So we'll talk about it when I'm home,"
Claude says, then he laughs.
"You realize I'm still the emotionally mature one in this relationship."
Then he laughs with him. "I brought it up."
"Yeah,"
Claude says,
"when you'd been drinking and we're 1,000 miles apart."
Then he groans. "Stop it. You're worse than my study group." Claude laughs.
"I'm better than your study group. They wouldn't offer you drunken phone sex."
Then he makes a face, even though Claude can't see it. "I hope not."
"Forget about your study group,"
Claude says.
"That was a hint."
"A very unsubtle one." Then he downs the last of his wine and leaves the glass on the coffee table. "2 minutes," he says. "I have to go upstairs."
"Hmm,"
Claude says.
"And I don't have to wait at all. I can start stripping right now."
Danny almost trips on the stairs as Claude tells him the details, as he does just that. Claude comes straight to Danny's from the airport, which Danny knows, because Claude crawls into bed with him in the middle of the night on Friday. "Shh," Claude says. "Sorry." He kisses Danny, and it's enough for Danny to fall right back to sleep. Then he wakes up in the morning, thinking it might have been a dream, until he registers the warmth of a second person in bed with him. Claude is, unsurprisingly, still asleep. Then he presses a kiss to his hair and gets up. He's in the kitchen, sipping coffee and making eggs, when Claude joins him, still in pajamas but tasting like mint. So he at least brushed his teeth before he came downstairs. "It's a Saturday," Claude says. "Why are you out of bed?" "I was awake." Then he turns to kiss him again. "Do you want breakfast?" "Yes." Claude slumps over a cup of coffee at the island, while Danny makes enough food for two. Then he sits next to him at the island, and they eat in comfortable silence. Claude pushes his plate away when it's empty, and turns in his chair to face Danny. "Okay," he says. "I'm here. I'm awake now. Let's talk." Then he pushes his plate away and turns his coffee cup in his hands. "What are you going to tell people?" "What do you want to tell people?" Claude asks. He takes the coffee cup away from Danny and holds his hands. "I can always say I own a condo in Cherry Hill." Danny smiles briefly. Claude's learned how to lie without even lying over the years. "You can," he says. "Do you want to?" Claude leans forward and rests his forehead against Danny's. "I'm not going to tell anyone anything you're not comfortable with. I can tell them I own a condo. I can tell them I moved in with you because it's some kind of superstition. Or I can tell them I moved in with you because you're my boyfriend. Then he closes his eyes. They're going to make so many assumptions if you do that. Claude cups his hand around the back of Danny's neck. I don't have to tell them that. Or we don't have to tell them details. Danny opens his eyes and looks at Claude. They're so close, there's no hiding from each other. And he can see that Claude means it, that he'll go whichever way Danny wants him to. Danny tilts his head and kisses Claude. You can tell them the truth if you want to, he says. He squeezes Claude's hand. Things have changed since we started doing this. It probably won't be as big a deal, and I can warn the boys. Claude laughs. It will be a big deal. He nips at Danny's lips. But manageable, and I won't bring it up unless they ask about it. It might not come up at all. He kisses Danny for real, using the hand still around the back of Danny's neck to direct him just where he wants him. Danny returns the kiss with enthusiasm, more relaxed now that they've made a decision. It's Saturday morning, he says. Want to go back to bed? Yes. Claude tugs at Danny's hand to make him stand up faster. We haven't had sex for so long. Danny laughs. We had phone sex twice this week. It's not the same. Claude kisses him, then turns away and rushes Danny up the stairs. Claude impatient, and Danny laughing the whole way. Hunter looks disgruntled at their decision to have lunch on campus, but Danny's pretty sure he doesn't care that much, and he ends up with a lunch he digs into without complaint. He looks disgruntled again when Sarah says, "No school conversation!" when he tries to bring up their discussion from BEPP recitation. "Everything is cool," Sarah continues. "I need to think about something else right now." "I bet Danny has something not about school going on," Caleb says, and all three of them stare at Danny. Danny shrugs. "Come on," Caleb says. "We've all noticed how you look. What's up?" "They're going to find out soon enough anyway." "Claude's moving in," he says. "Officially. He mostly lives with us already." "Congratulations," Sarah says after a second. "His idea or yours?" "Mine," Danny says. "Mostly. I asked him to move in, but he'd pretty much moved in on his own." "At least you're talking about it," Sarah says after she laughs at him. "Very mature," Caleb says. "Very boring," Hunter says. And he shrugs when Sarah and Caleb glare at him. "Sorry, but it is. You're already an old married couple. We don't need to know more about that." Then he thinks about refuting it. He doesn't find being with Claude boring, any more than he found marriage to Sylvie particularly boring. But he decides he doesn't really want to tell them the details of his sex life, and just shrugs instead. "It works for us." "I think it's romantic, if kind of slow," Caleb says. 5 years of hooking up, and you're finally figuring out that you want to be together." "No," Danny says. "It was never like this before." The looks all three of them give him suggest they don't believe him, even though it's the truth. It's less that they figured out they wanted to be together, and more that they grew into wanting to be together. It's like that now, though. So Danny lets it go without trying to convince Sarah, Caleb, and Hunter of the truth of how it happened. "What do you even have to move?" Cameron asks when they try and figure out a day they can fully move Claude into the house. "You already live here." "I have things that aren't here," Claude says. "Like the clothes you never wear?" Claude laughs at the chirp. Danny shakes his head and asks, "Are you bringing furniture?" Claude rubs the back of his head. "My dresser, I guess. We pretty much have everything else." "Is there anything you want to bring?" Danny asks. "We can make room if there is." "We already have a bed," Claude says. He and Danny both ignore the face Cameron makes. and a couch, and a ping-pong table. A better ping-pong table than mine. And, like, dishes and stuff. He shrugs. I guess there isn't that much stuff to bring. I'll just leave most of it there for Greg's. So, just your stuff, then he says. Think we can do that in an afternoon? Yes, Claude says. I'll go over there before and pack some stuff up. Then he looks at a calendar he has open. You might get out of this, he says to Cameron and to Claude. You're not home on weekends for the next month. Claude sighs and leans against his shoulder to look at the calendar with him. You're going to be able to do it midweek? I can get some of the boys to help instead. Then he looks at the calendar and thinks about what he has coming up. How about next Wednesday? If you can pack up some of your stuff before then, I'll bring lunch after class and we can move. Yeah, Claude says, I can do that. He leans in and presses a kiss to Danny's cheek. Then he smiles at him and ignores Cameron's long-suffering sigh while he puts it on his calendar. What do you want? Danny texts Claude as he leaves his stats class. He had to explain to Caleb, Hunter, and Sarah why he couldn't have lunch with them today, and that resulted in a lot of muck cooing that he put up with because they're his friends and their chirping is distinctly subpar compared to what he experienced in a lifetime of playing hockey. For everything to magically move itself, Claude sends back. Then he laughs and sends him, You could have hired movers. Not enough stuff to make it worth it, Claude sends, and then, grilled cheese. Danny probably could have guessed that would be what he wanted. For John Michael too? Burger, Claude says. So Danny gets a couple of grilled cheese, a burger, some fries, and a side order of the veggie medley in case one of them wants to pretend to eat vegetables with their lunch, and takes it all over to Claude's. John Michael lets Danny in and takes one of the bags of food with him. Thanks, man, John Michael says, and then he yells, Gee, your boyfriend is here! As they go up the stairs. Claude meets them at the top of the stairs, ignoring John Michael and leaning in to kiss Danny. He looks tired and his hair is a mess, so Danny kisses him back gently and smooths his hand over Claude's hair. Claude sighs and leans against him for a moment. I'm never moving again. Then he kisses his forehead. I'm not throwing you out, so you don't have to. You'll feel better after lunch. Claude throws him a bright smile that seems out of proportion until Danny thinks about the fact that he just said this is permanent. Well, he is supposed to be working on talking about it. That probably counts. They sit on the couch to eat, with whatever John Michael was watching still playing on TV. You're going to rot your brain, Claude says. John Michael flips him off and says, I ate the end of the ketchup yesterday. Then he laughs and hands Claude the extra ketchup he got with the food before Claude can complain about it. Claude smiles at him and dips the corner of his grilled cheese in it. Claude's much more relaxed by the time they're done with lunch, and they take turns washing their hands before Danny follows him to his bedroom to see what the state of the move looks like. His room is a mess. There are a couple of boxes and two suitcases neatly stacked on the floor, but there are also another couple of open boxes and a duffel in the middle of the room with a few things in them and a lot more lying around. I hate moving, Claude says, looking around at it. Then he sighs. Let's pack this up. It's probably not as bad as it looks. Then he turns toward him and kisses him. We could take a break. I thought lunch was break. More of a break. Claude kisses his way down Danny's neck. One last time here. There haven't been that many times here to begin with, but the way Claude's nipping at his neck makes him want to have one last one. He tucks Claude up and kisses him hard. What about John Michael? Claude steps away from him to close and lock the door. You'll just have to be quiet. It doesn't seem like it should be that hard to do, but Claude nips at his jaw and sucks at his neck when he comes back to Danny. And it's a lot harder than it should be to keep from moaning.
I really want to blow you, Claude says.
That takes Danny from interested to all the way hard, and he squeezes Claude tight.
I'm not going to say no to that.
Claude grins at him.
Good.
He presses a swift kiss to Danny's lips, and then gets on his knees. He doesn't waste any time getting Danny's pants open and his cock out, and then Danny has to press a fist to his mouth to keep from being too loud when Claude licks him from root to tip. Claude licks him for a while, long enough that Danny reaches down and threads his fingers into Claude's hair, silently asking for more. Claude smirks up at him before he takes Danny all the way into his mouth. Then, Danny really does have to fight not to be loud. Claude has so much practice now, and he's using all that skill and determination to make it so good for Danny. Not being able to be loud is hot, too, in its own way. Not something he wants to do all the time, but right now, it's good.
Claude moves on his cock, a gentle back and forth that combines with how he's sucking Danny, to make it too good to last much longer. Danny's still fighting not to make too much noise when he comes, but he's not sure how well he manages it.
Claude licks him clean and stands up. Danny leans into him and kisses his jaw. He can feel how hard Claude is against his hip, and he nudges him toward the bed.
I'm not doing this on my knees when we still have to move, he says.
Claude turns them as they move and pushes Danny to sit down on the edge of the bed. Danny spreads his knees apart enough for Claude to stand between them. Claude swears when Danny takes his cock out, but Danny taps his hip.
Quiet.
Claude bites his lip and nods, and Danny sucks him down. Claude isn't exactly loud, but he makes noise. Bit enough moans and pleas for more, probably not loud enough to carry through the walls. Danny makes it quick anyway, sucking hard and using his tongue. Claude is loud when he comes, a strangled shout that he cuts off after a second. Danny swallows him down and squeezes his hip. Claude groans as he draws his cock out of Danny's mouth and stumbles to the side to fall onto the bed.
Do we really still have to move now?
Yes. Danny lies down next to him.
This is the best day in your schedule for it.
Danny rolls over and puts his head on Danny's shoulder.
I'm tired now.
Danny strokes his hair.
You should have thought of that before. This was your idea.
I know. Claude turns his face into Danny's neck and presses a kiss to his skin.
Okay, he says after a minute, let's do this.
He gets up first, and then he stands up after a moment, tucking himself back into his pants. Claude hasn't packed everything yet, so then he goes to the bathroom and rinses his mouth with mouthwash. He doesn't mind Claude coming in his mouth, but he doesn't want to taste it for the rest of the day.
Do you want me to help pack or carry things to the car?
Claude looks around his room, making a face at it.
Pack, he says. We'll carry everything down later.
Is everything going?
Except the furniture.
Packing isn't as hard as Claude's dislike of moving made it sound. Then he fills boxes and tapes them shut, uses his ever-present Sharpie to label them with an approximate description of the contents. They're done in about an hour. Claude throwing the last of his stuff into a box that he tapes shut and labels, All the other shit. Claude unlocks and opens the door, and they each take a box to carry downstairs. John Michael looks over the back of the couch at them as they pass by.
You could help, Claude says as he goes down the stairs.
Not if your room smells like jizz,
John Michael calls after them.
You couldn't just wait a couple of hours?
It's my house, Claude calls back. I can do whatever I want there.
Only for a few more hours,
John Michael yells after them as Danny and Claude go out the door.
Is there anyone we know who doesn't talk about our sex life?
Danny asks.
The boys, Claude says. At least not to us.
Then he makes a face and unlocks his car. Please, don't talk about the kids and sex in the same sentence. Claude laughs. I thought you'd be over that by now. It's been long enough. It will never be long enough, Danny says. Claude keeps laughing and stops Danny just inside a condo to kiss him.
Are you moving or making out? John Michael asks.
He has a box in his arms. Then he pulls away from Claude.
Moving. That can go in my car.
He points John Michael in the right direction and goes up the stairs. With the three of them, it takes very little time to get Claude's boxes and suitcases into Danny and Claude's cars. They go inside after the last trip, and Claude hugs John Michael.
I know you're going to miss me.
You're never here, John Michael says, futilely trying to squirm out of Claude's hold.
And I'm going to see you at practice tomorrow.
Claude looks over at Danny.
Was I ever this ungrateful about living with you? You, gross.
John Michael twists away from Claude. I'm not sleeping with you.
I wasn't sleeping with Danny then,
Claude says.
He wasn't,
Danny confirms.
Whatever,
John Michael says. He mucks scowls at them.
Get out of my house. So ungrateful,
Claude says. He ruffles John Michael's hair and tells him he'll see him tomorrow, and then he and Danny separate into their own cars to drive over to the house. With just two of them, it takes longer to get everything into the house than it did to get it out of Claude's condo, but it's not that much later that there's a stack of boxes in the entryway, and two more, plus a couple of suitcases, in the bedroom.
What do you want me to unpack?
Danny asks. Claude groans.
Do we have to unpack? Can't it wait?
Nope. Danny kisses his jaw. It will never get done, then. Claude makes a face at him.
What do you want to unpack?
I'll start with the bedroom, Danny says. He already made space for Claude's clothes in the closet, but this way he can make more if he needs to.
You're going to trust me down here. It's your house, too.
Claude draws him close and kisses him deeply, then pushes him away.
Go, before I decide to take advantage of you and me in an empty house instead.
Danny laughs.
We'll have plenty of chances for that.
Clothes are easiest to start with. Danny separates out Claude's suits from his more casual clothes, puts stacks of Claude's fire shirts into drawers, fills a small drawer with socks, hangs Claude's ties on the tie rack with his. It won't matter if Claude ends up wearing Danny's ties instead of his own, not that it's likely to happen. They don't even own the same style of tie. The closet is big enough that it looks full but not overstuffed, with both of their clothes filling it up. Then he takes an empty box out of it and closes the door. There are already signs of Claude all over the bedroom, but knowing all of Claude's clothes are in the closet makes it feel even more like it belongs to two of them. He unpacks the rest of what Claude brought upstairs, including his "all the other shit" box, and takes the stack of flattened boxes downstairs. Then he leaves the boxes in a stack in the entryway and goes into the living room where Claude and Cameron are having what looks like a very serious conversation about video game organization.
What do you think? Claude asks Danny.
Then he holds up his hands and takes a step backwards.
That's for the two of you to work out. That means he doesn't want to look like he's playing favorites,
Cameron says.
I know, Claude says. Rock, paper, scissors?
Danny backs all the way out of the room. There's no way he's getting involved in that, and takes boxes out of the recycling bin. Claude has the last two unpacked boxes in the living room, so Danny leaves him to it and sits down at the dining room table with the reading he really should do today. Claude and Cameron must come to some kind of compromise, because Cameron wanders into the kitchen for a snack after a little bit, and Claude comes in a little later and bends over to kiss the top of Danny's head. Danny looks up from his reading.
Done unpacking?
Yes. I live here now. Claude says it calmly, but a smile spreads over his face. Then he smiles back at him and pulls him down for a kiss. Too bad the house isn't empty now, Claude says. Then he laughs and pushes him back. I have to do at least some of this reading. Okay. Claude kisses his temple. I'm going to make dinner. Do you want some help? No, I've got it. Then he goes back to his reading. He can hear the sounds of Claude cooking, but it fades into an easy, comfortable background noise. Hunter does a double take when he sits down next to Danny in BEPP on Thursday morning.
Did you get laid last night and this morning?
He asks.
You're all...
He waves a hand at Danny like he's supposed to know what that means. Danny did, in fact, get laid last night and this morning, but he's not going to tell Hunter that part of it.
Claude moved in yesterday.
Hunter groans.
You were bad enough before. You're going to be insufferable now.
I don't see what you have against them being happy, Sarah says.
One of us should get laid at every opportunity.
I get laid? Hunter's protest is just a little too loud, and it carries beyond the four of them. Caleb's the first one to laugh, a smothered chuckle that sets Sarah off. Then Danny can't resist it either, and even Hunter gives up a reluctant smile. Class gets called into order, which means no one says anything about Danny's sex life for an hour and 45 minutes. It's a brief reprieve, though, because as they're gathering up their things before they leave, Sarah says,
I'm glad you're getting laid.
Danny's surprised into a laugh.
Thank you, he says. I'll tell Claude you approve.
You can tell him I approve, too, Caleb says. You look happy. Danny smiles at him.
I am.
Insufferable,
Hunter says, but he looks more tolerant than annoyed. Then he chuckles.
I'll see you tomorrow,
he says, and he waves at the three of them as he heads for his business ethics class. Claude's already left for the rink by the time Danny gets home, so Danny sends him a text to tell him that his study group approves of him moving in and to wish him good luck.
You don't need luck when you're this good, Claude sends back.
Then he laughs and sets his phone aside to focus on his homework.
What's with you?
Sarah asks Caleb, when he's the last one to arrive at their table in Huntsman. Caleb falls heavily into a chair.
Apartment hunting.
He puts his head down on his arms.
Why are you apartment hunting?
Hunter asks, like it's a completely foreign concept. Caleb rolls his head to one side. I can't stay in the dorms for the summer, and I can't go home. He looks even more exhausted saying that. Danny wants nothing more than to make it better for him.
You'll find something,
Sarah says. She pats Caleb's shoulder.
I'll ask around, see if anyone I know is looking for a roommate for the summer.
Me too, Hunter says. Maybe some of my frat brothers who don't live at the house.
Caleb sits up and smiles at them.
Thanks. It can be very expensive. My scholarship isn't going to cover summer housing, and my job isn't going to give me full-time hours.
It will work out,
then he says. He has some ideas about how to make it work out, but he'll have to talk to Claude and the boys first. Claude's out of town and gets home late, so Danny doesn't get a chance to talk to him until Claude gets home from the rink while Danny's working on his homework the next day. Claude moves Danny's books away from him to make space for himself on the couch and leans in to kiss Danny. Danny smiles into the kiss and doesn't let go of Claude when they pull apart a little.
I'm glad you're home, Danny says.
Claude's smile gets even brighter.
Me too.
Danny lets go of Claude enough that they're not held quite so close together. There's probably another way to approach this, but he dives right in.
I want to invite Caleb to live with us.
Claude laughs and kisses him.
I told you so. I knew you couldn't resist the rookie in need.
Then he can't even be annoyed, because Claude was right all along, and he does appreciate that Claude knows him so well. You were right. Then he says, what do you think?
Sure,
Claude says. He needs a family. He kisses Danny's temple.
And we can be a good example for him. Show him he can still have a boring, stable relationship.
Then he laughs.
We're not that boring.
He kisses Claude.
Thank you.
I love that you want to help him, Claude says. I wouldn't want you to change. He puts his arm around Danny and settles back onto the couch.
Have you talked to the boys yet?
No. Danny leans into Claude's shoulder. He can take a break before he has to get back to some of his homework. I wanted to make sure it was okay with you first.
I'm sure it will be fine, Claude says. They're used to you taking in the rookies.
Danny talks to Cameron first, over dinner.
Caleb doesn't have a place to live over the summer, he says. I was thinking we could let him come live with us.
Just for the summer? Cameron asks.
At least for the summer,
Danny says.
More, if he wants to stay with us.
Cameron shrugs.
Yeah, sure. Caleb's cool.
Thank you, Danny says. I'm going to talk to your brothers about it tomorrow, so please don't mention it to them until I get a chance to do that.
Okay,
Cameron says, seemingly not bothered by any of it. Danny looks at Claude, who is very clearly trying not to laugh at him for his caution. Claude's grin deepens, and then he leans over and kisses Danny's cheek.
Told you so, he murmurs.
Because of the time difference, Danny talks to Kaylin next, catching him around dinner time in California. They text a lot, but it's been a couple of days since they last talked, so they spend some time catching up before Danny brings up Caleb.
I want to invite Caleb, one of my friends from school, to live with us, at least for the summer. His parents kicked him out because he's gay, and he can't stay in the dorms for the summer.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you about this summer,
Kaylin says.
Alexis and I are thinking about spending part of it here anyway.
Oh, Danny says. That was not the turn he expected this conversation to take. How much of it?
Like, half of it, maybe?
Kaylin says.
We want to come home and everything, but we also have friends here, not just people from school, and it's where we live now.
Okay, Danny says. I know I'd like you to come home, and we're going to Florida in July. But you're adults now, and if you want to spend some of the summer there, it's okay with me. You'll have to talk to your mom, too.
I talked to her a couple of days ago,
Kaylin says.
And Alexis's parents are cool with it.
Danny expects Alexis's parents are less cool with it, unless they've discovered they like having her out of the house. But at least he's not going to have to be involved in trying to talk them into letting Alexis do what she wants.
Okay, then he says. Let me know when you're going to be here.
Yeah, of course,
Kaylin says.
And you should switch my room with the guest room so Caleb doesn't have to be next to you and Claude, since he'll be there the whole summer and I won't.
This is now the most embarrassing conversation Danny has had with Kaylin since Kaylin and Alexis started dating, and Danny put down ground rules about what they could and could not do in the house.
That's a good idea, Danny admits. Do you want to wait until you're here to move your stuff?
No,
Kaylin says.
I brought a lot of my stuff with me. You can just pile my stuff in the guest room, and I'll do something with it when I get there.
We'll do that, Danny says. Thank you for thinking of it.
Danny can practically hear Kaylin shrug when he says,
yeah, no problem.
Carson is bound to be busier than any of the rest of them, so Danny texts him to ask him to call when he has time to talk. That doesn't turn out to be for another day, and then Carson is full of news and stories about his life. Danny tells some of his own stories too, before he gets to the reason he originally wanted Carson to call. Caleb doesn't have a place to live this summer. I want to invite him to live here, if that's okay with everyone.
When don't you have someone else living there?
Carson asks. Danny can almost see him rolling his eyes.
Yeah, that's cool. Is he going to want to hang out with us and stuff?
I don't know,
Then he says, he's going to be working, but he'll probably spend some time hanging out when he's not at work.
Cool,
Carson says.
Tell him he should brush up on his video game skills.
Then he laughs. I'll do that. Once everyone else in his house has agreed to it, Danny invites Caleb over for dinner. He makes it a Friday afternoon, when Claude and Cameron will be around, and he and Caleb won't have homework to get in the way. Claude's going to pick you up, Danny says to Caleb on their way out of class, after they've separated from Sarah and Hunter outside the building. He'll be in the city anyway.
Okay, Caleb says.
He grins at Danny.
It will be good to get to know your boyfriend on his own.
Danny laughs and says, I'll see you tonight. Cameron helps make dinner, and they're about halfway done when Claude gets home with Caleb. Claude comes through the kitchen first, and then he turns to kiss him hello before he says hi to Caleb. There's a world of expression on Caleb's face, and Danny's probably going to be hearing about this from his whole study group later. He's too happy to have Claude, Cameron, and Caleb all there to be very bothered about it.
Can I help?
Caleb asks.
We've got it,
Danny says. He nudges Claude, who hasn't moved out of his space.
Will you set the table?
Yep. Claude kisses his cheek and gets plates out.
Cute, Caleb says. Don't encourage them, Cameron says. They're all kissy all the time now. They're worse than Kaelin and Alexis.
Then he laughs and leans up to very obviously kiss Claude when he comes back to the kitchen. Claude grins and kisses him back.
No one's as bad as Kaelin and Alexis, Claude says cheerfully, especially not that first year.
He elbows Cameron.
See if we're nice about it when you have a girlfriend.
Cameron turns bright red and elbows Claude back.
Shut up, he mutters.
Despite the chirping, they get dinner on the table without incident, and everyone quiets down while they eat.
This is good, Caleb says. Your cooking lessons worked.
I can still only make the things Mitchell taught us, Danny admits. But that's better than before.
Caleb laughs. Well, you've got this down, you and Cameron.
All four of them are smiling, and that makes it seem like a good idea to bring up Caleb's living situation.
I didn't just want to show off my cooking, Danny says. I know you're looking for somewhere to live during the summer. We have an extra room, and we'd love to have you move in with us.
Caleb's jaw drops, and he just stares at Danny.
Transportation might be an issue, Danny says, but we can work it out. You can take the car, or one of us will drive you into the city for work. If you want to stay during the school year too, we're taking most of the same classes, and Claude's in and out of Philly all the time.
Danny, Caleb says, that's not... You don't have to do that.
I know, Danny says.
He also knows he's treading on iffy ground here, trying to make this better for Caleb, without making it hard for him or reminding him of how much his family isn't doing for him.
But I want to. You're my friend, and we have the space.
If you don't say yes, Claude says mildly, he's going to keep asking until you do. That's how I ended up living here the first time. It's probably not as helpful as Cameron saying, the last 2 years are the only time in forever that we haven't had someone else living here.
It's your choice, Danny says, but we'd really like it if you moved in with us.
Caleb looks suddenly a lot younger and more vulnerable.
What about your other kids? They already agreed to it, Danny says.
He smiles, trying to put Caleb at ease, trying to make him believe this is something he should do.
Kaelin's going to let you have his room so you don't have to be next door to Claude and me.
Caleb laughs a little, but his eyes are damp.
Are you sure?
Yes, Danny says. We're all sure. Caleb nods.
You have to let me contribute, pay rent, or do chores or something.
Okay, then he says, careful not to push too hard. We'll work something out.
Okay, Caleb says.
Yes, thank you. I can't believe you're willing to do this. Claude laughs. I knew, as soon as he made friends with all of you, that one of you was going to end up moving in here. I didn't think it would take this long.
Denny tries to frown at him, but he's too relieved for that.
I wasn't planning on it.
No, Claude says. His eyes are warm where he's smiling across the table and Denny.
But I knew you couldn't resist.
He turns a grin on Caleb.
Congratulations. You're the latest in a series of rookies Denny's put in the guest room.
Denny knows he's pushing a little, but he says,
Welcome to the family,
anyway. Caleb ducks his head and says, Thank you. And then Cameron starts telling him stories about Killen and Carson. Claude and Cameron stay home when Denny drives Caleb back to his dorm. Caleb's quiet for most of the drive.
Are you really sure you want me to live with you?
He asks, when they're over the river and just driving into Philly.
Yes,
Denny says. He glances over, but can't see much of Caleb's expression in the dark. He decides to be blunt anyway.
We're not like your parents. I've thought about this a lot. You need a place to live, and this is something I can do for you.
I wish my parents were more like you, Caleb says, so soft that he barely hears it. Then he reaches across and squeezes his shoulder.
I'm your friend, not your dad, but if you ever want to talk, or grown-up advice, I'm here.
Caleb doesn't do more than nod, but when Denny parks and gets out of the car with him, he hugs Denny tightly for a long time.
It will be okay,
Denny says, even though it might not be true of Caleb's relationship with his parents. He pretends not to see Caleb wipe his eyes when he steps back. The house is softly lit when Denny gets home, porch light left on for him, and Claude is in the living room watching TV. Claude looks up and smiles at Denny. It's just as welcoming as the house, and Denny crosses the room to sit next to him on the couch. Claude leans in and kisses him softly.
You can't make everything better for him.
Denny sighs and leans into Claude.
I know.
It's a parenting lesson, he already knows. That's all that much harder when the part he can't fix is the part that shouldn't need fixing.
Cheer up, Claude says. He'll be living here soon, and then you can make almost everything better.
Then he smiles at him.
Is that how it worked when you moved in?
Yep, both times. I got lessons on how to be a good hockey player the first time, and a lot of sex the second.
Then he laughs. Was that a hint?
I wouldn't say no, Claude says. But if you want to just cuddle or go check on Cameron, it can wait. He does want to go check on Cameron. He doesn't have the words to tell Claude what it means that he knew that, so he leans in and kisses him instead, then pats his thigh and goes upstairs. He knocks and waits for Cameron to invite him in. Cameron's on his bed with his laptop, which he closes when Denny goes over to sit next to him. Then he puts his arm around Cameron and pulls him close.
I love you.
He kisses the top of Cameron's head. Cameron gives him a strange look, but hugs him in return.
I love you too.
Then he sighs.
I just wanted to make sure you know that. Your mom and I will love you no matter what.
Yeah, Dad, I know. Then he kisses the top of his head again.
Okay, as long as you know that.
He squeezes Cameron close before letting go and leaving him to whatever he was doing before. Claude barely looks away from what he's watching when Denny rejoins him, but he does make space for Denny, and they cuddle close together.
Everything okay? Claude asks when the show goes to commercials.
Yes. Denny kisses him for a long time.
Do you care about this, or do you want to go upstairs so I can blow you?
Claude kisses him back with more force.
The DVR is recording it.
He fumbles at the remote to turn off the TV.
What are you waiting for?
Then he grins at him and pulls him up the stairs.
Sarah drops into a chair at their usual table in Huntsman.
Are you still looking for an apartment?
She asks Caleb.
I might have a line on something.
No, Caleb says, and it's hesitant enough that Sarah looks up from her phone.
What happened?
Caleb looks at Danny, who gestures at him to go ahead. They're all going to know soon enough anyway. I'm moving in with Danny and Claude. Sarah stares at Caleb, then at Danny.
Huh, I thought you'd want to get rid of the kids now that you're living together, not at them.
We've both had people living with us for years, Danny says mildly. We're used to it. Sarah says,
huh,
again, and then grins at Caleb.
You're going to witness a lot of hot dad action.
Danny decides not to interpret the look on Caleb's face. Hunter makes a disgusted noise.
I don't want to be picturing that.
Can we please not talk about my sex life? Danny asks. It's probably not going to work, but it's worth a try. Caleb looks at the three of them and then says, one of his kids is swapping rooms, so I don't have to be next door to the newlyweds. There's half a second of silence, and then Sarah laughs and Hunter groans.
Don't tell us that, Hunter says. Now I'm going to be thinking about it.
Danny manages to keep a straight face when he says, you should be glad to know you can have an active sex life even when you're out of your 20s. Caleb grins at him. Sarah laughs outright, and Hunter puts his head in his hands.
Don't ever give me sex advice, he says.
Danny can see the smile Hunter isn't quite successful in hiding, and agrees to that. The Flyers win one and then drop one in the first two rounds of the playoffs. The loss is at home, and Danny watches it on his couch with reading he does during intermissions. He's still slowly working his way through it when Claude gets home, but he closes his book when he hears the front door open and close. Claude shrugs off his suit jacket, then he comes into the living room and drapes it over the back of the couch before he lies down, head in Danny's lap.
Two losses, Claude says. One win.
Then he runs his hand through Claude's hair. Claude turns, so his face is pressed against Danny's stomach.
Does being captain after a loss get easier?
This is your fifth year, then he says. Is it easier?
No, Claude says. He sighs. Yes, I know what to say now.
You don't carry the team on your own, Danny says. He rubs over Claude's shoulders, and then tilts Claude's head up so he can loosen his tie and unbutton his top two buttons.
It still feels like it, like it's my responsibility.
Some of it, Danny says, but it's not just you. He slides his hand inside Claude's shirt and rubs over his collarbone and the top of his chest. You can lean on your A's.
Hartsey's been good about it in this series. Claude sighs. I hate losing.
I know you do. Then he keeps his hand against the skin of Claude's chest and runs his other hand through Claude's hair over and over again. He misses playing, but he doesn't miss how it feels to lose. It's bad enough when it's Claude's loss. He likes being able to do this, though. Make it better for Claude in some small way. Be there while the tension seeps out of Claude's body. Claude eventually sighs and nuzzles into Danny's stomach.
I like coming home to you. That makes it easier.
I like that too. Danny rubs his fingers against Claude's scalp. It's maybe not the right time for it, but he says it anyway.
I love you.
Claude twists to look at him, and his whole face lightens into a smile. Danny smiles down at him, helpless to do anything else. And he leans down while Claude leans up. It's an awkward angle for kissing. Danny bent halfway over, and Claude pulling himself up with his arm around Danny's shoulders. But they manage it.
I love you too, Claude says.
Danny thought that was true, by now at least, but he still likes hearing it from Claude. He kisses Claude again. Can you sleep, or do you want to go upstairs? And I'll wear you out with a blowjob.
I might be able to sleep, Claude says, but I'm not going to turn that down.
He levers himself up to sitting, then standing, and then leans over to kiss Danny before he can get up.
I love you, he murmurs.
Then his face splits into a grin,
and not just because you're offering to blow me.
Danny laughs and gets up. Go, I'll be there in a minute. He makes sure the door is locked, and the dogs are content, before he picks up the suit jacket Claude left behind and goes upstairs. Claude is already down to just his pants, which he takes off while Danny watches. Then he tosses his jacket at him. Claude catches it and hangs it up with his pants. Then, he is in just his boxer briefs, cut and stretched tight over the bulge of his cock. Then he keeps his eyes on Claude while he strips and lets his clothes fall to the floor. Usually, he wouldn't leave this much of a mess, but it doesn't seem worth breaking the moment to put his clothes in the hamper. Unlike Claude, Danny strips all the way naked, freeing his hardened cock from the confines of cloth. Then, he crosses a room to Claude and strokes his hands up Claude's chest and over his shoulders. Claude smiles at him, shoulders loosening under Danny's hands.
You promised me a blowjob.
Danny laughs and kisses him. I did. He lets go of Claude's shoulders and hooks his fingers into the waistband of Claude's boxer briefs. He glances up at Claude and slides to his knees as he pulls Claude's underwear off. He takes his time about it, stroking down Claude's legs as he goes, and finally letting Claude step out of the cloth. Then he leans in then, just rubbing his lips over Claude's cock. Claude lets out a gasp and then he grabs at Danny's shoulder.
I can't do this standing, he says. Really not, if you're going to wear me out.
Then he presses a kiss to the head of Claude's cock, making Claude thrust toward him just a little. Then he stands up and pushes Claude toward the bed.
You're going to be too worn out to move, he promises.
He grabs the lube while he's up and takes it with him when he stretches out between Claude's legs. He goes slow, licking and teasing for a while. He half expects Claude to hurry him along, but Claude seems as happy as he is to go slow right now. Danny opens the lube when he takes the head of Claude's cock into his mouth. He's going slow anyway, so it's not that hard to concentrate on sucking Claude while he pours lube onto his fingers. Claude moans when Danny pushes a finger into him. Then he keeps going slow, sucking soft and careful and not giving Claude a second finger until he's practically begging for it. He crooks his fingers, drawing moans out of Claude. Claude's knees come up as he spreads his legs more, making it easier for Danny to thrust his fingers into him. And his hand settles on the back of Danny's head.
Danny, he says, please, fuck, please.
Then he changes his strategy, the time for going slow over. He sucks hard on the head of Claude's cock, presses his fingers into Claude, and uses everything he knows about what Claude likes to make him come as quickly as possible. Claude comes with a cry, and then he swallows around him, keeping his cock in his mouth until Claude weakly pushes him away. Then he draws his fingers out of Claude slowly, and sits up to look at Claude lying sated and still on the bed.
I'll jerk you off if you come here, Claude mumbles.
It brings Danny's attention to how hard he is. He's going to come so fast that jerking him off isn't going to disturb Claude's calm. Then he shuffles up the bed on his knees. He picks up Claude's hand and wraps it around his cock so Claude doesn't even have to open his eyes. Claude's always been good with concrete, performance-based tasks, and this is no exception. Even splayed out and exhausted, he jerks Danny off with a quick, even rhythm. It's too good to last, and Danny comes over Claude's stomach a bare minute later.
You're cleaning that up,
Claude says, even before Danny has caught his breath.
Yeah, Danny says.
He bends over to kiss Claude while he gets enough feeling back in his legs that he can stand up without falling over. He washes his hands in the bathroom and gets a washcloth to clean Claude up with. Claude murmurs something indistinct when Danny touches him, but doesn't do anything to help, or even get himself under the covers when Danny's done. Then he leaves him there while he returns the washcloth to the bathroom. He turns off the lights and muscles Claude under the covers in the dark. He finds Claude's mouth and kisses him.
Exhausted enough to sleep?
Already asleep, Claude mumbles. Then, clearer, he says, love you. Then he smiles, even though Claude can't see it. Love you too. Danny's finals arrive in a rush. There are 2 reading days before they start, and he spends both of them on campus, attending review sessions and studying in Huntsman with Sarah, Hunter, and Caleb. Danny makes sure they take breaks for lunch and buys them afternoon snacks, trying to stave off the worst of their crankiness. They're all stressed out, but Danny has years of important, busy spring schedules to draw on, and he knows things will only be worse if they don't take care of themselves.
Why did we take OPIM, stats, and BEPP all in the same semester?
Hunter asks during one of their short snack breaks.
That was a terrible idea.
You're acing BEPP, Sarah says. Stop complaining. And you're acing OPIM, Caleb says. It's the 2 of us, he gestures between himself and Danny, who have to worry about everything.
Plus our other classes,
Danny says, although he feels relatively confident about his business ethics class and is only really worried about bio.
You don't get to talk, Sarah says, pointing at Danny. You have the supportive boyfriend to fall back on.
It's playoffs, Danny says. He's not around much, and when he is, he's sleeping a lot.
I'll bet you get laid, though, Hunter grumbles. Not as much as you'd think,
Danny admits. We're both busy.
What good are you if we can't even live vicariously through you? Sarah asks.
Danny shrugs.
It's not as much fun for me either, he says. My life right now is all takeout containers, naps, and homework.
What happened to all that stuff you learned to cook? Caleb asks.
Easier to get takeout, Danny says. Especially when it's just the 2 of us. Cameron cooks sometimes when he's with us. Nobody cooks for us, Hunter says.
The rest of them look at him, and he says,
you know what I mean. Let's get through finals, then he says, and we'll cook for all of you before you start leaving for the summer.
You don't have to do that, Sarah says.
We should do something to celebrate the end of the year anyway,
then he says. It will be fun.
How good is your cooking?
Hunter asks. Then he laughs.
We're much better. We've been well trained.
He can manage it, Caleb says. I'll bring dessert. Pie or something. Hunter looks at him skeptically.
Can you cook?
He brought pie for Christmas, then he says.
It was very good.
Sarah points her pen at Hunter.
That means we have to come up with something to contribute, too.
Hunter makes a face at her.
They offer to do stuff. That doesn't mean we have to.
Don't be a dick, Sarah says. We'll come up with something. She looks at the mess of books and notebooks spread out over the table.
It might be something rushed after finals, but it will be something.
Hunter heaves a sigh, but then he can see the look in his eyes. That means he's starting to think about it. Danny's stats final lands on the very last day of finals. The final is in the morning, and Sarah and Hunter are both leaving the next day, so they plan to have dinner at Danny's. They all stay to the very end of the 2 hours, working their way through the test and double-checking answers, and they gather together outside the classroom. They just look at each other for a long time, all of them still in the test-taking days, until Hunter says,
That's the end of the year.
Sarah flashes him a grin. We survived it.
Maybe, Caleb says. We haven't gotten our grades back yet.
We kicked ass, Hunter says.
We did, Danny says.
Hell yes, we did, Sarah says. She stretches and heaves a sigh.
And now I have to go pack since I haven't done any of it.
Me too, Hunter says. They share a grimace.
I'm halfway packed, Caleb says, but I still need to make dessert.
Claude's going to be in the city this afternoon, Danny says, so he's going to pick you up for dinner.
Well, Sarah says, that gives us a deadline.
We'll be ready. They exchange one last smile of shared relief at being done for the semester, and then go their separate ways. Danny stops at a grocery store on his way home. He could have done it earlier, but he's been so absorbed in studying for finals that he didn't want to shift his focus. It's strange to walk into the house and know that he doesn't have anything he needs to do other than make dinner. It's even stranger than the end of the first semester. Then he still had things to do for Christmas, for Claude and for the boys. And it was only a few weeks without classes. Now he has a whole summer stretching in front of him. Well, mostly. Claude still has playoffs, and then they'll have the whole summer free. After he puts the groceries away, then he goes upstairs for a nap. It's not that he hasn't been sleeping, but it's one thing to sleep, and another thing to sleep knowing the semester is over and there's nowhere he has to be until it's time to pick Cameron up from school. He even wakes up before his alarm is set to go off, and he has time to take the dogs for a walk before he picks Cameron up, and then starts in on dinner. He's in the kitchen when everyone else gets there. All four of them come in together, Claude trailing behind the others.
Wow, Sarah says as she comes over to give him a one-armed hug. You really do cook.
I really do, then he says with a laugh. He nods at the bag she's carrying.
What's that?
Sarah pulls it away from him.
That, she says, is for after dinner.
She tucks it away in a corner of the kitchen, which makes room for Danny to accept Hunter's half-hug, while Caleb puts whatever he brought in the fridge.
I brought pie, Caleb says when it's his turn to hug Danny. Something different from what we had for Christmas.
Yum! Danny hugs him close, and then lets him go around the counter while Danny kisses Claude.
Can I help with anything? Claude asks.
Then he puts him in charge of the salad and gives Sarah and Hunter plates to set the table. He also gets down wine glasses for all of them.
Contributing to the delinquency of minors, Claude asks.
A glass of wine isn't going to hurt them, Danny says, and they're college students. I'm sure they've had more to drink than that. Claude laughs and kisses his cheek.
What are we drinking?
The wine from the fundraiser. Then he lets Claude take care of the wine, since he now understands how the wine fridge is organized, and he puts everything else into bowls and platters to go on the table.
Cameron, he calls up the stairs. Dinner's ready!
Cameron comes down the stairs a couple of minutes later, and they all sit down around the table. Then he picks up his wine glass.
To the end of our first year!
They toast around the table and sip at their wine, then pass platters and bowls around. Everyone is quiet for a couple of minutes, while everyone digs into their food. Hunter is the first one to break the silence.
You really did learn how to cook!
Then he chuckles.
I told you we were learning.
It's good, Sarah says. Congratulations on mastering one of the domestic arts.
I don't know that I've mastered it, then he says. I can only cook a few things.
He hasn't burned down anything in months, Claude says. It makes all of the kids laugh, and now that they've settled into their dinner, they talk while they eat, about cooking and school and summer plans. It's fun, and even more so because Danny and his study group are relaxed without the tension of homework or finals looming over them. Claude still has playoffs, but he seems to have taken the evening off from worrying about them, and if Cameron has homework over the weekend, he doesn't seem too bothered by it.
Everyone helps clear the table after dinner, and Caleb takes over the kitchen to make whipped cream. I could have bought ice cream or the stuff in a can, but this is such a treat. And serves slices of the pie he made. The whipped cream is a treat, and then he catches Claude eyeing the bowl longingly, even after he's eaten his one slice of pie.
I won't tell if you have another piece, then he says.
Claude makes a face at him, and at everyone else when they laugh at him, but he gets himself another small slice of pie, with a larger than necessary dollop of whipped cream. The rest of them take small second slices too, and only after they've eaten those do they put the leftover pie and whipped cream in the fridge.
Now it's time for our contribution to the party, Sarah says.
She gets the bag from the corner of the kitchen.
I brought a game, and Hunter brought the party music.
She takes an iPod out of the bag first and gives it to Hunter. While he plugs it into the speakers and starts it playing, Sarah pulls out a large red box and sets it down in the middle of the table.
Yes, Cameron says. Apples to apples is awesome.
Sarah beams at him.
Yes, it is.
Danny, Claude, and Hunter haven't played before, so Sarah explains the rule while Cameron shuffles and deals the cards. It doesn't take long before they're all laughing over card pairings, and Claude's protests that he's at a disadvantage since English isn't his first language.
It's not hurting me,
Danny says. He's not winning, but he's not doing as badly as Claude.
You're in school, Claude says. You have to use English all the time.
You do press,
Danny shoots back.
So do you.
Claude heaves a sigh that's at least half-feigned and seems to renew his efforts to do better, which only leads to more laughter at some of the word pairings that result. They play a couple of games before Hunter's playlist runs out, and at the end of that game, the quiet makes it seem like a natural end to the party. Sarah packs up apples to apples, Hunter retrieves his iPod from the dock, and Danny puts pieces of pie on plastic plates for her and Hunter. Cameron and Claude hug Caleb, Hunter, and Sarah, and they stay home to let Danny drive them back himself. Danny parks and gets out of the car when they get to the campus. They all look at each other for a moment, and then Sarah says,
"Group hug!"
And they fall into a laughing tangle of arms. They do individual hugs too. Sarah holds on tight when she hugs Danny and says,
"I'm really glad to have met you."
"Me too,"
Danny says.
"Have a really good summer."
"I will," Sarah laughs. "And I'm going to text you, like, all the time."
Danny grins at her.
"Good."
Hunter's hug starts out as more of a clap on the back, but then Danny gives him a real hug and he returns it.
"Have a good summer," Danny says.
"You know it,"
Hunter says.
"And hey, I'll text you if I get down here for something."
"Do that," Danny says. "We'll hang out or go to a Phillies game or something." Hunter grins at him and steps back. Danny gives Caleb a quick hug. "We'll pick you up in the morning." The four of them stand there for another moment, before Hunter, predictably, is the one to break it up. Then he watches them walk away with the same kind of bittersweet swell in his chest as the end of a hockey season. They did well, and he made close friends, and even though he knows he'll see them again soon enough, he'll miss them. Then he goes home to the rest of his family, Cameron and Claude sprawled out on the couch watching TV. Then he takes the space right next to Claude and kisses him for long enough that Cameron makes a disgusted noise. Danny and Claude break apart with a laugh, and Danny settles himself against Claude's shoulder. Claude puts his arm around Danny and kisses his temple.
"It's a good family you're building."
Danny smiles at him and at Cameron.
"We're building."
The staggering of people's last day of finals means campus isn't quite overwhelmed with people moving out when Danny and Claude show up to pick up Caleb. They still have to drive around a little before they find a parking space close enough that it's not going to be a terrible hassle. With so many people moving in and out, the dorm doors are propped open, and they can go right in and up to Caleb's floor. Caleb's door is open,
and Danny taps on it before they walk in. Caleb looks up from where he's sitting on one of the beds and smiles at them as he closes his laptop and sets it aside. Hi. Then he goes all the way into the room and hugs him, with Claude right behind him. Ready to do this? Yep. Caleb gestures at a small stack of boxes and a couple of suitcases. There isn't that much to move. You've got two hockey players to help you, Claude says. This shouldn't take too long. It's just enough stuff that even with Danny and Claude carrying heavier boxes, it takes them two trips to get the bulk of it down to the car. And they come back up for Caleb's last suitcase and his backpack. Between the three of them, they do a last sweep of the closet and dressers to make sure Caleb isn't leaving anything behind. Ready to go? Danny asks. Caleb looks around the room, white walls and bare mattresses. Yes. He shrugs on his backpack and leads them out of the room. He locks the door behind him, and they head down the stairs. They stop in the lobby, Danny and Claude standing to the side while Caleb turns in his key. There are enough adults wandering in and out that they aren't very noticeable, particularly when everyone around them is too busy with moving to pay much attention to anyone who isn't in their way. Claude nudges Danny with an elbow. Is this what it's going to be like when we take Cameron to college? Danny follows his gaze to a clearly stressed out and exhausted family hauling boxes through the lobby. Maybe. I didn't do this with Kaelin. I was already in school and he moved into an apartment. Claude hums. Still before training camp. I can go with Cameron when he moves in. Then he leans his shoulder against Claude instead of kissing him in the middle of Caleb's dorm lobby. He knows they're serious, but Cameron still has two more years of high school left, which means Claude's talking about a future farther away than anything they've really talked about so far. Claude puts an arm around his shoulders. In casual clothes and hanging around, they're nearly indistinguishable from the parents wandering in and out. Even the fact that they're both men is barely garnering them a second glance. I love you, Danny says quietly. Claude's face lights up. Maybe Danny should say the words more often. Me too, he says, just as quietly. If you're done, Caleb says, I'm ready to go. There's something just short of a smirk on his face. Claude's arm slides off of Danny's shoulders slowly. Let's go haul your stuff around again. The drive home is nice, idle chit-chat, and Danny letting Claude control the radio. Caleb an easy presence in the back seat. It's a taste of what it's going to be like in the fall, driving himself and Caleb back and forth across the river. It takes them less time to unload the car than it did to load it. No one else they have to maneuver around, and fewer stairs up to the second floor. And pretty soon, they have Caleb's boxes stacked in a corner of his room. I put sheets on the bed, then he says, waving at it. If you hate the furniture, we can change it. Don't be shy, Claude says. I made him buy me new furniture the first time I moved in. I think it will be fine, Caleb says. Do you want help unpacking? Danny asks. No, Caleb says. I can get it. Danny nods. Okay. Well, don't feel like you have to hide up here. This is your home too. The cleaning lady comes on Wednesday, but pick up after yourself or keep your door closed. No parties when Cameron has school the next day. If you bring someone home, Danny starts, and then rethinks how he's going to finish that sentence. He can't very well tell Caleb to keep it to his room when he has no intention of doing that with Claude. Use your judgment, he finally decides on, pointedly ignoring Claude's snickers. About what's appropriate to do where? Caleb actually laughs. Are you going to follow that rule too? Danny says, yes. And Claude says, no. Yes, then he says more firmly, we will. Caleb doesn't look like he believes it, but he nods, and they leave him to his unpacking. You don't really mean that, right? Claude asks as they go down the stairs. I really won't have sex in the kitchen again someday. Then he wants that too. He turns and kisses Claude,
having to lean up more than usual with Claude on the stairs above him. He and Cameron won't be here all the time. Claude brightens up.
Really?
Really. Claude leans down and kisses him again.
Wanna make out on the couch?
Then he grins at him.
Yes.
Cameron won't be home from school until later, and Caleb will probably be a while unpacking. They both end up half hard, but they don't do anything more than make out. Then he's stretched out under Claude on the couch. By the time Caleb comes downstairs, they're sitting up, leaning against each other, watching a forgettable action movie Claude found when he was flipping channels.
Is this the kind of excitement I can expect living here?
Caleb asks.
Yep,
Claude says cheerfully. He gestures to the other end of the couch.
You can watch with us if you want.
Caleb sends a skeptical look at the movie, but sits down anyway.
I'm glad you're here, then he says.
He can't fix everything for Caleb, but maybe this will be enough. A house full of love, and people he can lean on while he gets through college.
We're glad you're here, Claude corrects.
And that's even better. The two of them, a solid team, and offering what support they can to Caleb, as much as they do for the boys. Caleb nods solemnly.
Me too.
The end. Showing. There's no need to look around. You're the best we got going. Shout out to the dreams you'll chase. Shout out to the hearts you'll break. Nothing's gonna stop you now. I guess you better be going. You never before or even in here. Inside of my heart, you're here. Go on. It's gotta be time. You're starting to shine. Cause what you got is
you So there was a pandemic, and I didn't read anything for a very long time because I had kids 24/7 at home. And then when I did get time, I also got a job, and I was like, that means I have to read everything in 2 weeks, right? All the things I want to read in 2 weeks. And so I read over 100,000 words of fic in 2 weeks when I hadn't read anything in 6 months. So what I'm trying to say is my voice is shut and I cannot read anything again for another 6 months. I hope you enjoyed this.